Kevin, I want to start with little basketball, and then we'll get to the main thing, football. But Avery Johnson, what's his status, and what needs to happen rest of the way?
Good morning, Bill. And actually, I want to start with a question to you. Was your good friend by chance Vance Wheeler?
Yeah, that's my boy.
Okay, cool. That's who I thought it was. That's who I thought it was. I knew he was from Nashville, and I knew he was on those teams. Yeah, unfortunately, year four of the Avery Johnson era is turning pretty sour. And I'm a huge Avery Johnson fan. Back when I used to watch the NBA, I was a Spurs and Sonics fan. He played for both of those teams, and I had really, really high hopes when Alabama brought him in. But after last night's disappointing loss to Texas A&M in College Station, the second time this year, A&M has four conference wins. Two of those are against Alabama. Avery sits at 72-55, and he sits at 32-35 in his 4 years at Alabama in Southeastern Conference games. And three-game losing streak, it's just not heading in a good direction. A lot of people like myself who are staunch Avery Johnson fans, you know, following the basketball program slogan, buckle up. A lot of his staunchest supporters have begun to jump off the bus here. The loss Saturday at home to Florida, they lost earlier last week when they went to Starkville and lost to Mississippi State. And they really weren't expected to win that game, but they just looked really bad in the loss. And then they came home, and it was just an absolutely pathetic performance against Florida. And let's be honest, this isn't a great Florida basketball team, and Alabama just looked completely lethargic. And then last night, you know, Alabama led for most of the game, and then they get outscored 33-12 in the last 12 minutes of a loss to a bad Texas A&M team. Bill, I just think the handwriting is on the wall for the Avery Johnson era at Alabama.
Over to football, Major Applewhite gets hired to be an analyst of some sort, obviously, on offense. He left last time under, what would we say, not the best circumstances. So talk to everybody about this announcement or this story that Applewhite's coming back.
Yeah, Major Applewhite, in Coach Saban's first year at Alabama in 2007, he served as the offensive coordinator for one season. He's back as an analyst, one of the many, many analysts that Alabama has. I'm assuming that he'll, quote, unquote, work on the offensive side of the ball. And, hey, let's be honest, Bill, somebody's got to stop by Daylight Donuts in Tuscaloosa and pick up the donuts. And at noontime, somebody's got to make the run to Full Moon Barbecue. And, hey, why not at Major Applewhite?
That's about That's about what
I'm not a big Major Applewhite fan, so.
No, not as a coach at all.
And no.
So Butch is basically Nick's right-hand man now, right?
Well, he is going to have a significant input on the offensive side of the ball, it sounds like, with helping Steve Sarkisian game plan each week. He's going to kind of be working very, very closely with Coach Sarkisian. So Coach Saban has obviously a tremendous amount of, he's earned a tremendous amount of respect from Coach Saban. And, this is an important role for him within the organization. And he doesn't need to be in an on-the-field role right now because he's still getting that pilot flying J check every month, which is, you know, paying the bills and then some.
Right.
But he's obviously earned a tremendous amount of respect from Coach Saban. He's going to have tremendous input on the offensive side of the ball. And he's extremely well-loved by the players. The players absolutely love him. You know, one interesting thing, though, about Major Applewhite, the major comes from he's named after Major Ogilvie. His parents are Alabama alumni, and he's named after Major Ogilvie, who was my childhood favorite player. So that's my redeeming quality for Major Applewhite.
Yep, I remember him in recruiting out of Baton Rouge Catholic High School, and
yep.
I remember his dad. I don't know what his dad does for a living or did, whatever, but he would come through Nashville. He'd call me, and we'd talk, and he actually committed to A&M before he committed to Texas and then flipped it.
He did. And he broke Alabama's fans' heart. Alabama fans were hoping that he would come and be the quarterback for Alabama, and they thought, well, he has to. He's named after Major Ogilvie, but obviously he didn't do that. So hopefully round two in Tuscaloosa for Major Applewhite will go better than the first one in 2007.
I was going to ask you about a few players. Zach Evans, this running back at North Shore in Houston, is already being called the best running back maybe since Adrian Peterson. Now I haven't looked at him enough, but that's what we're hearing. And he's got the Aggies, he's got Texas, he mentioned Alabama, Georgia, he mentioned Clemson. LSU, mention them too. Obviously, Houston and LSU, that's not far from each other. LSU goes in there. What are you hearing early on him from an Alabama point of view?
Yeah, Zachary Evans from North Shore High School in Houston, Texas. Alabama fans will remember wide receiver DeAndre White, who was a part of the 2010 class. He was a product of North Shore High School. The area recruiter for that area would be Carl Scott, the now cornerback coach. And then obviously Charles Huff, the new running back coach, would certainly be involved in the Zachary Evans recruitment. But, hey, you know, he's a five-star, Bill, and, you know, at Alabama we're never able to sign any of those five-star players.
Can't get him. Yeah. Not enough tradition.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't do well with five stars, so. But no, hey, Alabama's in the mix for him, and, you know, obviously he's an extremely talented football player, and he's going to make somebody very, very happy in December. Let's be honest. I assume he'll go ahead and do it in December and not wait till February. But extremely talented player out of North Shore High School, and Alabama will give it all they've got to try to add him to the class of 2020.
Another one is the top-rated player in Tennessee is Reggie Grimes, who plays at Mount Juliet. And his dad is Reggie Grimes, who played at Hunter's Lane, who played at Alabama. It seems like Reggie Grimes was at Alabama about 10 years ago. That's it. I know it was a little longer than that, but it seems like it. Doesn't seem like it was that long ago. So this kid's about 6'4", 230, and I think Alabama, if they don't have him already – it's just a matter of time. Wouldn't you agree?
I would, but let me say this. Alabama is not taking Reggie Grimes for granted at all. I know he has interest in the Clemson Tigers. They're not just assuming because his father, who played defensive tackle at Alabama from 1996 to 1999, they're not just taking him for granted that, hey, he's going to follow his dad. But, I would be very surprised if Reggie Grimes doesn't end up committing and signing with the Alabama Crimson Tide. But as I want to emphasize, they are not taking that young man for granted at all. Extremely talented. I think he's rated as high as the number two weak side defensive end in the country. And it would be really great to see him follow his father and you know, to Tuscaloosa and play for the Crimson Tide.
The DB in Florida out of Aquinas that they just got, Alabama just got, tell us about him.
Yes, Jaquez Robinson, and I know I had some people freaking out to me. Oh, my gosh, he's a three-star. I understand from people close to that high school program that he's not a three-star talent. I look for him to get what people call the Bama bump here very shortly when they do the rankings. He's a 6'1", 6'2" in terms of height, has long arms. So he's the prototypical type back that Alabama likes. I've been told that they will bring him into camp, and they will at that time try to decide exactly where in the secondary he's going to fit in, whether it's at cornerback or safety. But I think he's one of those quote-quote, if there's ever such a thing as a quote-quote under-the-radar player that Alabama gets, I think it's Jaquez Robinson, who I think once he goes to some more of these combines will prove the young man is absolutely not a three-star talent, and I'm extremely happy to have the addition of the young man from Sandalwood High School. And it's just, you know, the last two classes, Alabama has done a really good job of bringing in quality talent in the secondary, and Jaquez Robinson is just the latest addition to that secondary for Alabama.
How many do they have so far in the class of 20?
Right now, Alabama has 11 commitments in the class of 2020. If you look at the 247 team rankings, they have just been jumped by LSU. So Alabama is currently number two. I think they're just ahead of the resurgent Miami Hurricanes, who now have a head coach with a pulse.
Yeah, who actually has energy in his veins. Oh, man. Talking Alabama here, Kevin Hagan with us, joins us every Wednesday. In this slot, a wealth of information, treasure trove of information. Anything else going on down in Alabama that serves notice?
Well, Brad Bohannon in year two has gotten the baseball team off to a 3-1 start, and I'm anxious to see. I think we'll see improvement this year with Brad Bohannon's team as he continues to build back the depth chart there. And then, of course, all Alabama fans are just anxiously awaiting here in a couple of weeks the beginning of spring football practice and the two private scrimmages leading up to A-Day in April. It's kind of that dead period for Alabama fans that, you know, live, eat, and sleep Alabama football where you're over. I mean, like you said, this February signing day has just become an absolute dud for people. So as you said, February can kind of, if you're not into college basketball, if you're not into college baseball, in February can kind of be a drag for people who live, eat, sleep, and breathe college football.
Kevin, we'll see you next week, sir. Appreciate it.
As always, have a great day, everybody, and Roll Tide.